Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yes, we made it to Friday. And for most of you listening, that doesn't mean anything anymore because your week ended on Thursday. But for those that still celebrate Fridays, how are you? It is Evan and Tiki on this Summer Friday. Tiki is out today. He is in Denver, Colorado. So we made a phone call. We said we need to bring in not only the biggest New York Yankee fan in New York City, not only the biggest New York Yankee fan at WFAN, we need to bring in Brian Cashman's boy toy. We need to bring in Aaron Boone's plaything. So ladies and gentlemen, New York Yankee fans, you may hear him during the overnight. You may see clips of him on social media. It is sort of a reunion because he was a part of the very successful Carton and Roberts program. It's Big Mac, Chris McMonagle. Chris, how good are the Yankees?
Oh, they're terrific. Thank you, Evan. I'm back. And it's good to be back. And thank you for that introduction. I'm literally making up business cards. I think I'm going to put all of that on there.
Brian Cashman's boy toy.
Brian Cashman's boy toy. I like that. Yes. And Aaron Boone's plaything. I think that's what you said. Yeah, sure. Why not? Why not? Yeah, no, the Yankees are brutally bad. They're the worst team in baseball. And thanks for inviting me on such a glorious day.
Well,
couldn't wait when they were the first team, the 50. I didn't get a phone call.
Well, Tiki wasn't in Denver, Colorado. What can I tell you? I have been one of those baseball fans who has been very patient. I have been very patient with the New York Yankees. Yesterday on this show, take it for what it's worth, I made a prediction. And that prediction was the Yankees would win that game. Nestor Cortez would bounce back from his road struggles. The Yankees would win last night against Tampa, and they would have success against the Baltimore Orioles. I'm here to tell you, obviously, I was wrong. The Yankees lost a brutal game last night that was really lost in the first inning for a myriad of reasons, and then a kind of tantalizing ending to this game in the ninth inning. What I am here to tell you, and you tell me where you're at, is I am willing to admit that if the New York Yankees, who are going to Baltimore this weekend, and they've got Gerrit Cole on the mound, and they've got Luis Gil on the mound, and Corbin Burns ain't walking through that door, and the Orioles have been mediocre now for a while, if the New York Yankees don't start to reappear this weekend, then much like how they said, once you lose Cronkite, you lose America, they'd lose Evan. So I have been firm that they're not as bad as you guys think. I'm not out on them yet. But even I have my limits. And while last night was a test, I look to this weekend. And I say, if you can't have success now, if you can't turn this around, because you're still in it in the American League East, if you can't have success this weekend, then I will go into the All-Star break thinking, wow, everything I thought about the New York Yankees is dead wrong.
Never. That's my answer to you, Evan.
What
never.
What do you mean never?
No, listen. This is... as bad as they've been and as important as this game is, and you're right, this is the biggest start of the year for Cole. This might be arguably his biggest start in even throughout all of last year while he won the Cy Young. This is a big game and a big series. But having said all that, as disappointed as I am, as frustrated as I am, there is a limit. It's not here. It's not before the All-Star break, and it's not before the trade deadline. And that's the major difference between what happened in 2022 that every Yankee fan who's pissed off about what's happened over the last handful of years will harken back to, that great start followed by the collapse and the disastrous series against the Astros in the ALCS. The difference is they still have the opportunity to make changes to this team, and it's right there in front of them.
Yes.
And as long as that is still there, now, yes, we're still waiting for injuries to return. Significant injuries. Stanton was a significant part of this team. The three of them had more home runs than other franchises. We heard the stat over and over again. He was having a solid year. You still have John Birdie, who no one remembers, who would be a much upgrade to this team. Obviously, Jason Dominguez, we are still waiting for. Plus, there is an ability to go out there and improve the team. And whatever happens this week, they could be five games behind Baltimore, as if that's the worst-case scenario. They would still be in a playoff position. They're still in front of a team that I think has played well against the Yankees, but is flawed in the Boston Red Sox and the Minnesota Twins. And I'm sorry. As bad as this team has been, I do not believe they're this bad. I refuse to believe they're this bad. And whether the start and the turnaround begins this weekend, or whether it starts sometime before the trade deadline or after the trade deadline. Until I know, pencils are down, Brian Cashman is done, this Yankee team is what we're looking at. Until I get to that point, I am not giving up on this.
By the way, let me just interject with a fact to prove that you are indeed, quote, Brian Cashman's boy toy.
Okay.
You just used one of his phrases.
Which one?
The pencils down phrase is a Cashman phrase.
Right, and it's right there in front of us as a Boone phrase.
I know, exactly.
You want to call me what you are? Listen, that's how it is. You want to put me in the jungle? Here I am. I'm going to act like I'm the Brian Cashman boy toy? Then let's do it. Well, honestly, he still has an opportunity to go out there and fix this ball club.
That part I completely agree with. One of the big differences, and you just touched on it, between 2022, a year that is often used as a comparison, because of the fact that they got off to a great start and then started playing horribly for months. That's where the comparison lies.
Right.
It's not about what happened in the postseason.
Right.
It's about that. And right now, the Yankees have been collapsing over a 25-game stretch.
Yeah.
The biggest difference, and you were so right about this, is that when the Yankees started collapsing, it was too late to do anything.
Right.
This is still in front of Brian Cashman to improve this roster, and obviously he can. He can make a myriad of moves that changes the complexion of this team. I look at this roster right now, the lineup that they send out every single day.
Yep.
Anthony Volpe at shortstop, either Oswaldo Cabrera or DJ LeMahieu at third base. Mm-hmm. Ben Rice at first base. Alex Verdugo in left. Trent Grisham in center. Right. Aaron Judge, essentially your DH.
Yep.
Juan Soto in right. And I look at this team, and like you, I don't think they're this bad.
They're not.
And I keep waiting. Gleyber Torres, so I should not leave out. I look at most of these guys, and I say, they're not as bad as the way they're playing, because that's the way baseball is.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Francisco Lindor was not as bad as he was playing over the first month and a half of the season. But much like it occurred with the Mets, there is a moment where you start to question everything you believe about a team.
Sure.
And while most Yankee fans, I hear them on this station, I hear them calling in, have abandoned ship. They have said, we suck. We're not good.
Yeah.
Brian Cashman's terrible. And I understand why you go there. Because when you see this kind of baseball night in and night out, it actually takes a lot of patience to stick with, hey, I don't think they're that bad.
Right.
But I still look at this roster and I say, they're not that bad. What I mean is, not that Brian Cashman can't go make moves to improve the roster.
Of course.
But if they continue to struggle this weekend going into the All-Star break, where it really is lined up well for them because of Gerrit Cole and Luis Hill being on the mound, and because the Orioles have been in a major rut, which here's why Yankee fans should care. You're only three games out of first place because of this rut.
Right. No, nobody ever looks at it the other way. I understand we're a Yankee town. We're talking about the Yankees. And everyone says, oh, the opportunity the Yankees have had. If they only played 500, they would be games in front. Nobody ever says, well, Baltimore had an opportunity to take a huge leap front of the Yankees.
They did.
If they were playing good baseball, they could be six, seven games out in front. They haven't. So now is the time for the Yankees to, you know, step up and play good baseball. And you're right. The difference between 2022 is a myriad of things, but hopefully what the similarity is that in the end, they figure it out. They win 99 games and win a division.
Right.
Like, that's still on the table. We harken back to that disastrous year. That's a disastrous year for the New York Yankees. A division title, 99 wins, and playing in the ALCS.
Well, but in fairness, I think one of the other differences in 2022 is there was never a race in the American League East from the beginning to the end.
Like, it got, I don't know about that.
It got down to five games. Close with,
was it that little?
I think it was five or four and a half.
I don't know about you, but I remember when Aaron Hicks didn't play a ball in the corner and they lost to Tampa Bay that night. I didn't think the division was a foregone conclusion.
I understand what you thought during that collapse. I'm just merely telling you, like, that race never got to three games or two games or one game. It just never did. This is far different because the Yankees and the Orioles have been within a few games of each other basically the entire season. Mm-hmm. So I think it's different because that felt like a collapse because they had such a huge lead in the American League East that when it got down to four games, it felt like nothing. Mm-hmm. Because at one point, they had like a 14-game lead.
Sure.
But here are the facts on the Orioles, and the Orioles do matter. They matter because winning the division is the ultimate goal, or I shouldn't say ultimate. Ultimate's winning the World Series, but the main regular season goal. And that's the team you're facing, and that's the team you got to beat. The Orioles, since they played the Yankees, and that's the line of demarcation, which is kind of crazy to me. Mm-hmm. They lost the next game to the Astros. I think it was 14-11.
Yep.
Scored a lot of runs.
Yep.
After that, in the 18 games the Orioles have played, they are averaging 3.61 runs per contest, which is Yankee-like. Mm-hmm. And much like Gunnar Henderson and Aaron Judge until recently, Gunnar Henderson's been fine.
Yeah.
It's really everybody else, and the Orioles are a very mediocre 8-10. They have been a mediocre team for 2.5 weeks. And this is the other reason why, to me, this is such an important weekend and a weekend in which I would lose faith. The New York Yankees have a rare opportunity to change a narrative so quickly like you've never seen before. If somehow, and I understand you all think I'm nuts right now, except for Big Mac, if somehow the Yankees won three consecutive games against the Baltimore Orioles down at Yankee Stadium South this weekend, we would go into the All-Star break with the New York Yankees as a first-place team. And imagine how different everybody would feel about this team. You'd literally erase everything that happened over the last three weeks.
I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know if that's accurate.
Which part?
I know. Then that the fan base would suddenly feel better about this team.
Really?
I don't think that's enough. No, I don't. I'm telling you, I do not think that's enough. That's how much there is such distrust in Aaron Boone, in Brian Cashman, in this group of players, in the ability to make moves at the trade deadline. I think it would be considered a fluke where they caught the Orioles at the right time. I'm telling you, that's how much disfaith that this franchise that they have in the franchise.
But Big Mac, you're right that I've seen that lack of faith over the last couple of years. But if you remember back to April and May, dogs. And I don't mean Loogie's dogs.
No, I know.
The Yankees were dogs like Alex Verdugo, Juan Soto. They had kind of changed the way Yankee fans felt about the team.
Right.
So is that opportunity that lies in front of them. The problem is it's tough to remain confident because you look at a game like last night and you look at second and third, nobody out in the first inning, and your MVP hits the ball to medium depth right field. You look at not being able to get contact to drive a run in and give you a lead. Mm-hmm. You look at the fact that Nestor Cortez, I don't know why, I can't figure this out, is me on the road. At home, he's
Give yourself
wonderful.
Some credit, Evan.
You think I'd have a better than a 6 ERA?
You might. I've seen you pitch.
I did win a Twitter baseball Cy Young.
Didn't you throw a no-hitter?
I never threw a no-hitter. I struck out 14 guys and pitched
the 2-hitter.
Struck out
14 guys. I mean, that's better than Nestor Cortez last night.
That is true. That is very
true. Although Aaron Boone said he had good stuff, and everybody got mad about it.
I think Aaron Boone should try something new. And I give this advice to the White House as well. I think you should stop talking. Like, I have this great idea, and I know usually the media would freak out. How do you not talk? You got to talk to your fans. I think there comes a point. Will you just make a decision? You know what? Nothing good's coming out of this.
Yeah.
Like last night's press conference. Like, what the hell was the point of that? You know? And I think Aaron Boone's the same way. I think Aaron Boone should announce, you know what? This team is so bad right now. I need to give it a break. I need to give it a break for myself. But more importantly, I need to give it a break for my fans. Because no matter what I say, you guys are going to hate me.
Yep.
So I'm going to give everybody like a little respite. I'll come back.
Yeah.
Like the White House someday. I'll come back and talk. Yeah. But for now, everybody needs a vacation.
Yeah. Listen, there's
you like that one?
Yes. I love that one.
Is that my best idea yet?
There's nothing to say when you go 8 straight series without winning a series. There's nothing to say when you win 7 of 24 games. There's nothing to say that would make anybody happy. It's about the play on the field. And to me, as bad as this has gotten, we have seen examples of this. Last year's champion blew the division end of the year. The bullpen was atrocious. They couldn't win, against the Angels the last weekend of the year? Mm-hmm. Couldn't win a series against one of the worst teams in baseball to secure a division title after they were throbbing it in the Astros' face the entire year. And then what happened? The bullpen was good enough to win a World Series. Now, I'm not saying this team, as presently constituted, the way they're playing, can flip a switch and become a World Series champion. What I'm saying is when you look at what they did when they were dogs, there are players on this team who they can upgrade, and then there are players on this team who have to be better. Anthony Volpe, Gleyber Torres,
yes, keep going,
and Verdugo.
Yes.
Those are the three I look at.
Great.
You cannot hide them. You cannot trade their replacements. I know everyone's about Jonathan India. I don't see that happening necessarily, but those are three guys who, heading into the year, like, when you look at it, Volpe was going to make this adjustment into year two, and we saw it.
Yeah, beginning of the season.
First month, looked... My MLB Network doing specials on Anthony Volpe for becoming the superstar we all anticipate.
By the way, just a quick on that, it was a few weeks ago. It wasn't even that long ago. Yeah. I remember coming on the air saying, look, I don't get offended by much. I was deeply offended by Carl Ravitch saying, Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt Jr., Anthony Volpe, flip a coin.
Yeah.
And I said, come on, what are we doing?
Of course.
And Yankee fans, including one that's sunning himself on vacation right now, said, well, you know, it's actually very close.
It's not anywhere close.
And now you hear, especially because of the slump that he's been in, the obviousness that it wasn't close. But continue on. Because I agree, those are the three players
players you need. I mean, Verdugo came here and made a difference, brought a swagger. When he was moved into the cleanup spot, it changed the lineup, because we forget, as much as, you know, April and May have been, you know, the great start, they were shut out five times in April. Mm. The offense wasn't even good back then. And Verdugo moving to cleanup changed things for them. He was the guy who brought a little bit of a swag and a change. And this is the guy also, like, we forget, this isn't necessarily Brian Cashman. The captain is on record saying, I went to the front office and said, get me Verdugo.
Right.
This is a guy this team believes in. This is a guy who's important. He's arguably the best defensive left fielder in the sport, or was it for a time, and he needs to be impactful. And then the same thing with Gleyber Torres. This is a guy who, in the offseason, I was into open to trading because of the year he had and the idea I didn't foresee him being a part of the future. But this was their best hitter last year. He had 25 home runs and had an 800 OPS.
Yes.
Like, all you need is somewhat close.
No, I know.
To what he gave you last year. And these things can turn around.
Well, I think that description. And Volpe's a little bit different because he's still sort of an unknown in his second year in the major leagues. But Gleyber Torres and Alex Verdugo, and I'll exclude DJ LeMahieu for now because I get it. It's easy to look at him and just say, well, that guy's cooked. So don't have faith in him returning. But Verdugo and Gleyber Torres, they're better than this.
Yes.
They are just flat out better than this. But for me personally, as somebody, as an IBO, as an independent baseball observer, I have been loyal to the fact that they aren't this bad and they will get hot. I am admitting to you right now, I look at this weekend as that line in the sand. If they don't turn it around this weekend, not that it's over, it just means they're going to lose me.
Yeah.
I can't come in here on Monday and say, oh, don't worry, they'll be fine. So where are the Yankee fans at now? They lose a pivotal three-game series to Tampa Bay last night in painful fashion. And now, to quote Aaron Boone and Chris Big Mac McMonagle, it's all right in front of them.
It is.
It's three-game series against the O's.
And listen, I agree with you. I think if they make a statement in the series, it can be something that could turn this season around. And I honestly think, despite the losses, I thought they played better. I thought the bullpen was actually really good the last couple
days. He's turning
in
Aaron Boone, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. The bullpen was better. They had eight hits and six walks last night. They just couldn't get a hit with the bases with anybody on base. They were 1-for-9.
And Mr. Big Mac Boone, how about Nestor Stuff last night? Really good.
Yeah, Nestor Stuff was not that good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Oh, we were against it.
Well, listen, I'm not an idiot. I don't know how, you know, he says what he says. We get it. And we all know it's not. And how about Nelson going after him in the postgame after that? Did you catch that?
Yes, I did.
I mean, immediately, like, good stuff. He threw 99 pitches in four innings. Good stuff. Like, but we all know it's not the case, but. To me, I hear what you're saying. It is a big series. It will make me feel a lot worse about this team if they get embarrassed again, despite the fact how Baltimore's playing. And I honestly think the Yankees have played better the last 2 days. But ultimately, I know where this team is headed. I know Brian Cashman is not going to waver. They have to add to this team. There are going to be changes made. We're seeing it now. Jorbit Vivas is being called up.
J.D. Davis going to the IL.
He's one of their prospects who has hit throughout his entire minor league career. He's an 800 OPS guy. They're hopefully going to play him a little bit. I want to see him get some run. They have that. They do have guys coming back from injury, and they absolutely will attack this trade deadline. So no matter how this next week goes, no matter how it goes from now until July 30th, I will not be off the bandwagon until I see what they look like on August 1st.
He's the loyalist Yankee fan you'll see. Some say loyal, some say shilly, some say delusional. That's up to you. For all the Yankee fans that don't like Brian Cashman, I got good news. I think Brian Cashman needs to be suspended immediately from Major League Baseball. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, my God. This is the spin to this?
There's no spin to this. Let me give the story, and then people can understand.
Oh, my God.
The New York Yankees announced a little bit ago that Yorbit Vivas has been called up. You may remember him from spring training, left-hand hitting middle infielder, outfielder from Venezuela. They've called him up great. They've placed J.D. Davis on the IL. And my first reaction, I think it was Big Mac's first reaction off air, was, what did he do? Get a splinter in his tuchus from sitting on the bench?
Yeah.
Like, how did he get hurt? Well, it has now come out that J.D. Davis is going on the IL with the stomach flu. Now, what are we doing here? The stomach flu, if you Google it, is a 1 to 3 day, you know, thing. You can't put a guy on the IL with a stomach flu. That is what Billy Epler did, which got him suspended and fired.
Stop.
What are we doing, Cash?
Stop. First of all, let me just tell you something right now, since I am the Cashman shill.
Yes.
Cashman is way too smart to lie with the stomach flu.
That is just not good.
That is just not a good enough lie. So if it were a lie, it would be something else. And there's I do wonder, how do you judge like a stomach? How do you even present that to Major League Baseball? He's going on the IL with a stomach bug. Now, I think my thought is, in all honesty, he hasn't played since the 9th.
Right?
So he hasn't played in three, four days at this point. Where you can retroactive it to that, it's 10 days. He's going to miss the next, you know, less than a week. So that's probably why they did it. I'm sure he
by the way,
ready in the next couple
days. He hasn't played since July 4th.
I just saw a retroactive of July 9th.
I guess they can't go back that far, but I'm looking
maybe
at his game log.
That's what I'm saying. We haven't seen him in a long time.
I forgot he existed. I didn't think he was a human being anymore.
Right.
But yeah, his last game was on the 4th of July, which is 8 days ago.
Yeah.
Which actually, if you could somehow, I'm not
retroactive
sure.
Maybe that's what it
maybe
is.
Maybe there's a restriction on how far you can retroactively put a guy on the IL, but he would actually be eligible in 2 days.
You want to, maybe Brian Cashman was unaware of the rules and thought he was retroactive somewhere till the 4th, and then Major League Baseball said the 9th, and they already put in the paperwork. I don't know. Because, like, that is bizarre. It's the stomach flu?
Yes.
That's Yankee fans and J.D. Davis.
So, by the way, here are the facts. The maximum an IL stint can be backdated is 3 days, even if a player hasn't appeared in a game for longer than that. So even though it's been 8 days, the reason you're saying July 9th is that's the longest they could do.
Right.
But the stomach flu IL? Come on now.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
How about this idea?
That's smart Brian Cashman right there for you.
I got a crazy idea about J.D. Davis.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
You want to trade him to the Mets?
No, just DFA him. The guy hasn't played in 8 days.
I know.
What's the point of him?
Well, maybe he's got a stomach bug. Maybe we're going to find out he's got like a tapeworm or something. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know what? It's going to come out of something serious. I'm going to feel like a real
jackass. Exactly right.
I know.
The guy might have pancreatitis, and you're laughing at him.
I apologize to the Davis family. Either way, Yankees, Orioles tonight, to me, this is the last stand. If the Yankees struggle again this weekend, they're even going to lose the faith from me that I have in them.
You know, and I'm surprised. I just want to say something.
Go ahead.
You know how much, obviously, it's great being back, first off. And you know how much I love you guys, and I listen to the show. And I was listening to you one day earlier, and it had to be May at this point, May.
Right.
And everybody around you was telling you something's up with Judge. And you went on a big, impassioned speech about how you believe in Judge. And you referenced an 0-32 stretch from Derek Jeter,
yes,
the game you went to.
Yes.
And the Baltimore Orioles, no
correct.
Less.
That is correct. All
no
accurate.
Less.
Yep.
And you showed faith, the ultimate faith. Evan, they still have like the fifth best record in all of baseball.
You're missing the point.
They still have a 3.5 game lead in the wild card. They're 2 games out of Baltimore. They still have it all out in front of them, the ability to change the team, guys coming back from injury. You yourself know that these guys are not so bad. I know it's 3 games. It's on the road against the team that won 100 games last year and was the favorite to win this division anyway. How can you call this season over? I know you're too good at baseball.
No, hold on. I didn't say their season would be over. I'd say I'd lose faith that they're actually going to turn it around. Doesn't mean they're buried. How could they be freaking buried?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No one thinks they're buried.
Well, then what are you, have less confidence than the day before? Okay.
Well, yes. There are Yankee fans who don't think they're any good. No one's suggesting they're buried. They're in a playoff spot.
It's more,
hey, this team isn't any good. If they continue to lose, there does come a point where, yes, mathematically they're alive, but you start to say, maybe I'm wrong. Well, maybe they're just not that good.
Well, I mean, listen.
There's a huge difference between
the two.
No, there
isn't. Not really.
Of course there is.
Well, there's maybe. You're saying maybe. Maybe. I changed my whole thing. Maybe they're not good. I didn't say maybe right now.
I'm saying that my confidence that I have in them, which I've been steadfast.
Will wane with another three-game set? Okay. Well, if you're saying that if they don't win this series or play well in this series or whatever ramification you want to put on it, two out of three or get swept or whatever, that you don't believe they're a good team anymore.
Yeah, it's going to hit me.
Well, good teams don't come back.
Well,
you're saying that they're not going to do it, that they're not a playoff team, that it's all over.
Never said any of those things.
But then I don't. Then what do you say?
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm saying I don't believe they're any good.
But if you don't believe they're any good, you don't believe they'll come back and win the wild card.
What? He's confused me. I've lost train here.
What does not any good mean?
That everything I think about this team,
right,
which is they'll win the division, right, they'll win 100 games.
Okay.
Most of these guys are better than you realize.
Right.
That eventually there's enough of a sample size where you say, gee, man, I'm wrong. Kind of like how people are reversing on the Mets. At some point you say, hey, maybe I was wrong about the Mets, and they're good.
I understand that. But now, having said that, what does not good mean? Because they're only 3.5 games up on a wild card. So if when to me, when you say, well, now I'm convinced they're not good. Mm-hmm. Well, how the hell could you expect them to hold on to a playoff spot? In my mind, you're saying they're not good. They're not going to make it. This team's going to be a disaster. And it's not going to be the 1 year with Juan Soto and must win. All of it's out the window after these three games. Otherwise, what are you honestly saying? You're saying that I felt worse about them before the three games. Well, clearly, if they lose the three games, I'll feel worse about them.
There comes a point in the season where you start to question everything you think about a team.
Okay.
I'm at that point.
So you're not ready to question them yet. Three more games against Baltimore will suddenly make you question them. But you're
here's the difference. Big Mac, do you remember last year when you were still with us?
I feel like I'm still with you. Every day,
yes. Yeah, you're with us.
I went to the overnight. I didn't die. I'm still, you know.
Suck it!
Yeah.
You may recall.
I hear that every once in a while.
I told a story called The Death in My Father's Eyes.
Correct. I remembered well.
He saw the death of a season.
Yes.
There are games over the course of 162, good and bad, by the way. Good and bad.
Right.
That just change everything for you. Where you start to believe. A lot of Met fans have had that over the last few weeks and months.
Right.
And the bad. A lot of Yankee fans have had that. That's what I'm saying. There's that moment where everything you think you believe in a team, good or bad, completely changes. But this is the weekend of a last stand. Garrett Cole, not last stand. Stop being so damn literal.
Last stand. Death of a season. Do you hear yourself? Like, that's exactly what I'm saying. You're saying it would be the death of a season.
Well,
you're saying it's the last stand. Then just stand on it. That's what you're saying. Don't say, well, it's the last stand, but I'm open to the idea that they could come back. I'm open to the idea that they could get it all back. You're saying it's over.
And many others, there's a moment where it's all over. Let's go to Jason in Montgomery. How you doing, Jason?
Hey, what's going on, Evan and C-Mac?
Jason? How are you?
What's up?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. Evan, happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's right.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So me and my brother, actually, as we're speaking, are actually on the way to Baltimore. We're doing a little road trip for Yankee Stadium. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, looking forward to it. But I do have my worries. And I'm listening to you guys like, there's a lot of Yankee flaws. But my one question to you is, where do you think, based on how the season's going, the spark of this team? Because obviously you're getting Giancarlo back, and knock on wood, eventually I do think you'll get Dominguez back. But as far as like spark, do you think that's enough? And do you think the Yankees would have to go as far, if you're not going to do a trade or you're not going to bring in somebody else, do you think they would go as far as to maybe bringing up Spencer Jones at some point just to get that spark?
It's a desperation move because I don't think he's ready. I think the spark probably comes, and there are a lot of options on how Brian Cashman can do this. The guy I'm intrigued by as a spark is Jazz Chisholm.
Right.
Because I do look at him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that star quality, even though he hasn't really blossomed into a star.
Right.
He's got speed. He's got a little bit of pop. Mm-hmm. He's a left-hand hitter. He's versatile, can play middle infield, can play the outfield. And he's one of those guys that I kind of believe when you bring to New York City, elevates himself. So I think if you're looking for a spark, to me, that spark is coming via trade.
Right. Oh, I agree. I mean, I don't know necessarily Chisholm or anybody else, but I don't know how they spark this team without a trade. I mean, I think, you know, Stanton coming back would spark the team because they were playing well when he was here and they all, you know, admire the moonshots and all that. But no, there's nothing else to do. I would change the lineup a little bit. I've talked about this a lot. I think instead of Verdugo hitting leadoff, I would hit Verdugo second and put Soto leadoff.
I said that first. Why'd you copy me?
When did you say that?
17 days ago.
Well, I don't know if I said it 17 days ago, but I said it for a while. And I like the idea of putting a guy I want to get right in the two spots.
That's exactly what I said. Lugie, gimmick infringement. What's he doing?
You said that exactly?
Lugie, did I not say that exactly to the word?
So I was screening a caller.
Come on.
You got it, boss. Evan, you said that.
Well, I've been saying it for about, I don't know, a week and a half or so, that I would put Soto leadoff. And that I would put Glaber against lefties and Verdugo against righties in the two hole.
Again, the
in
same.
Between.
Look, Boogie, I said this 18 days ago. What's up with this?
I don't know.
Simpsons did it first.
probably.
Well,
did.
I'm sorry. I promise you I wasn't listening. But we think alike. We've been, you know, talking about baseball. I mean, it's funny because we think so much alike, and yet I was left out of the book that it's like, I'm not sure if we thought alike, but now it's good to reaffirm that we do think alike in baseball and that I'm somewhat of a relevant,
let
you know,
me address this.
Somewhere in the back of your mind.
So, my Mets Bible.
And I'm still,
my
yeah.
book and right. Amazon right
and
now.
I was promised two signed copies as a gift for not being mentioned in the book, and yet still, there is no signed copy.
Oh, good.
There's
well, I got
nothing.
A second book right here.
There
I'll sign
you go.
It for
please
you.
Sign it for me.
So
I was hoping you would wait until it came out in paperback or something to get me the signed
would
book.
You rather get a free audio version of it? And you can't sign an audio version,
no,
but I can like sign it on air virtually.
I don't actually want to listen to it.
I'm a loser.
I just want to put the book on my shelf and say I know the great Evan Roberts.
Well, Big Mac is very upset because I did an acknowledgement section.
Yeah.
Where is the acknowledgements? Is it all the way in the back or something?
I wouldn't know.
Well, then I'm trying
how
to
the hell
find
would
it.
I know where it is?
Well, you know because you looked to see that your name wasn't there.
So it's either in the front or at the back, Evan. There's only two options.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't think there's an acknowledgement.
Just, you know, whatever. Just quickly scan for Marash. It's in there.
Oh, I got it. Here we go. Acknowledgements.
Yes.
So, you know, I thank a lot of obvious people, you know? And really where it came down to was thanking the new show versus the old show. Because this book was being published, or at least I was writing this, as the old show was ending. Now, Craig had to be thanked, because honestly, it was his idea.
Right.
I give him a lot of credit for that. He was the one who kind of flippantly on the air said, you should publish a book of scorecards, you loser!
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. But now I'm at the crossroads. Like, why should I thank Tiki? What has he done? Why should I thank Sean Morash? What have they done? But I was looking ahead. I was projecting towards the future.
Okay.
Loogie was obviously very safe. Love Loogie.
Yeah, he's on both shows. Yeah.
Old show, new show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided...
Old report, new report.
I decided out with the old and with the new. I mean,
yeah,
basically is what I decided.
No, I understand that. I understand the guy that was there for you every time this stupid argument came up to defend you, to show my book, to be there as a brethren for you when you desperately needed it. Because, yes, it was Craig's idea, but it was half-mocking and you know it.
That's okay.
And I was there for you every day. I would come into your office while you were writing the book, and we would go over it. I felt like I was part of the process in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when it came to the thanks, I was completely forgotten, and you felt it more important to, I don't know, promote your new show. Congratulations. I'm glad the show is a wild success. It's a terrific thing. I love listening to you guys when I can and steal your Yankee takes, clearly. And yet, Big Mac, the guy there for you every day, defending
you.
I'm going to
give you an example.
Bringing books to games with you, traveling to Boston with you.
I'm going to give you an example.
Been to baseball games with you, and yet... Guys who had nothing, nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
The book was written. Everything was done before you even like had a meeting with them to decide the new show.
Okay.
And yet still.
I have a retort that I don't know if it's going to work with you because I'm not as familiar with your game. And by game, I mean like your history, your love life history. But let's just say.
Here we go.
Let's just say.
I know.
You have published a book and it is coming out as you start dating.
Right.
A woman who turns out to be your wife.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
But you had a girlfriend for a few years.
Yes.
And she was very helpful with the book.
Right.
But you've broken up.
Yes.
It's over. Yeah. You're about to date and you can tell, boy, I'm going to marry this woman.
Yeah. Because
I don't know about you. Early on, I knew I'm marrying this woman that turned out to be my wife. And I'm pretty sure it was the same with you. Early on, you knew. You're like, that's my future wife, right? Just say yes.
Yes.
Don't get in trouble with your wife at home.
I'm not going to.
Well, here's where you're going to either get in trouble with your wife or you're going to side with Evan.
I hear you. Yeah.
Who are you thanking in your book? Your girlfriend of many years who you're no longer with?
Right.
Or are you going to thank the woman that you're pretty sure you're going to marry, but granted, had nothing to do with the book? What are you doing, Big Mac?
Yeah.
And by the way... Maybe my best analogy is he's screwed.
Okay, well, no, I'm not screwed
you
because it's a ridiculous thing. We did not break up. I mean, and let's be honest, like, the idea that Tiki Barber would be intimidated if my name was in a book instead of his is absurd. I mean, and same thing with Sean Marash. He got the job because you needed a Yankee fan, and I got banished to the overnights. So please don't tell me that like suddenly those guys, as they're laughing as part of the new show, somehow, oh boy, they would be intimidated. Because your point is the wife wouldn't like reading the book, seeing the ex-girlfriend's name.
She would like
it. Well, I mean, listen, if a Hall of Fame caliber running back, successful Tiki Barber, and Sean Marash, who became the, you know, the third host of the show while I was doing similar things for nothing, pushing buttons, like if that all of a sudden those guys needed to make sure that Mick Monagle wasn't in the book, then I get them on the phone, tell me they would have felt threatened, and I'll forgive you.
Well, they'll never admit that, just like your wife wouldn't admit it. Just like my wife wouldn't admit it.
She'd admit it.
There's only one person that can fairly determine this case.
Okay.
And obviously
that
person.
Yeah, you guys like to have trials. I'm open to a judgment. I'm open to a judgment.
The only person who can be fair in this is Tommy Lugauer.
This is why I'm a generational talent.
He saw both sides. He's worked with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He knows me. He got a wonderful thank you in the book, so I'm sure he's pleased.
I'm sure he did.
So, Tommy, on this argument, and then we could hopefully move on from it, who do you side with?
I am on Team Big Mac.
Of course.
First and foremost, your analogy was horrible. You didn't sleep with the guy. You guys scored baseball games.
That's
the only other creature maniac that does this.
That's
you forgot
what I'm
about
saying.
It.
We're so unique, you and I. And we shared this one thing. We're so different in so many
ways. Sometimes
I'm
just stupid.
Well, sometimes I am stupid, but we shared this one thing, this unique thing. We bought the same book. I followed you. I was your, I literally followed in your footsteps.
You're my
and
acolyte.
We talked about it. Yeah. I mean, you know, I was Obi-Wan Kenobi to your, Anakin Skywalker to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, and now you've turned me into Darth Vader because I don't like you anymore because of it. And it's just not right.
How could you side with Big Mac on this? That's, come on.
Because he said something that I thought was very poignant.
What's that?
And now that I've known you a little bit better, Evan, he's right. You mentioned Sean and Tiki not because you were worried about hurting their feelings. You wanted to promote the new show.
Of course,
you
that's
wanted to
what
say, "Hey, I'm still here. This is the new show."
Yeah.
The hell with Big Mac. Because by the, every
sorry.
Day he goes, "Well, Lugie, I help your career. I help Big Mac's career." Guy basically acts like he, you know, gave birth to us all the time.
Well,
so he just wants to take credit for it.
Yeah, he's a kingmaker, but he can't acknowledge me. I know. I get it.
Well,
but I'm just saying, all right, because you know what it was about. All right, you wanted your fans who read the book, you know, the many, many Evan Roberts fans out there, don't get me wrong, many, many Evan fans out there, and I'm sure everyone bought the book and read it. I'm sure it's a wild success. I love the book. I'll read it as soon as you give it to me. And I just, you wanted all those Evan fans who were unsure about things to be settled that, hey, it's still me. It's still the card-carrying member of Baseball Insanity. I do the books, and I'll be there with Tiki and Sean, and you have no fear. That's why you did it. And for some reason, I got caught in the crosshairs, and I don't know why.
Well,
but you could have done both.
Here's the good news.
Yes.
When I did a book signing a couple months ago, someone had me sign the book with an acknowledgement for Chris McMonagle and Pete Hoffman.
Get out. Huff too got screwed. I don't have to fight his battles.
No, Huff got screwed too. Actually, the guy comes up to me and says, I want you to sign the book, and I also want you to write, I acknowledge Chris McMonagle and Pete Hoffman. And I did do that. I have that picture somewhere. Let's
all
go
right,
to Zach.
I forgive you now. I got it off my chest.
Thank you. Zach's in Rockville Center. What's up, Zach?
Evan, you know, I love you.
Yes.
T-Mac, even though he's the biggest douche at WFAN.
Well, that's not nice.
Yeah, he called me the other night. He calls me the biggest douche in WFAN.
Yep.
But a lovable douche. Right? Am I a lovable douche?
T-Mac, I'm honored.
All right.
Okay, well, I'm glad.
Yeah. You know, we talked about exactly what you said about the Rangers. You know, how they had a terrible July. It was either a terrible July or August. They were like 11-19.
Yep.
You know, they blew the series against the Mariners. I still am nowhere close to giving up on this team. You know, as a Knicks and Giants fan, years and years of suffering. Yeah, we got two Super Bowls, C-Mac. You know that it hurts to be a Giants fan sometimes. Knicks get turned around. Being a Yankee fan, year after year, winning, you know, I can't understand why people can't look at the bigger picture and how they're only three games back in the division and how they didn't have their ace to start the year. I don't understand the thought of fire Brian Cashman, fire Aaron Boone, because like you said, C-Mac, if they sweep the Orioles, they're in first place.
Yeah,
so
well, Evan said
I just
that,
don't,
yes,
I don't
yeah.
get it.
Well, firing Brian Cashman is stupid in this moment.
Hey.
Like, you're not firing your general manager
in the middle
of July.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, because I think off-season discussions are off-season discussions.
Of course,
that's not a regular season, middle-of-the-season discussion.
Right.
The way I would talk about Boone being fired is there are levers of desperation that baseball franchises have.
Yep.
And there are different levers you can pull. and we've seen it. I'll stick to just New York baseball. There are levers. So back in 1999, the Mets were struggling. The Mets were desperate. And they pulled this lever of desperation against the Yankees by firing their coaches. They basically cut Bobby Valentine's knees off and said, we're going to get rid of all your coaches to try to spark the team. And gee golly, it worked. Sometimes it does work. A few years ago in Philadelphia, they pulled the lever of desperation by firing Joe Girardi. Mm-hmm. Rob Thompson takes over. Obviously, the results have been golden. I'm not against pulling that lever. The question is, when are you desperate enough to pull it?
Right.
And that doesn't mean that Brad Ausmus or Luis Rojas are better options than Aaron Boone, because quite frankly, they're not. I'm sorry, they're not. They've both have managed in the major leagues. I kind of have an idea on both of them. Neither are better. But there are moments where you get so desperate as a franchise, where you have so little answers that you pull that lever. The question Yankee fans have to ask themselves is, are you ready? Is this the moment, three games out of first place or two games out of first place, still how many games above 500, to say, you know what? Lever pulling time.
Right.
Now, I know you know that there are plenty of Yankee fans who say, pull that lever.
Oh, already there. Yep.
But let's be honest. If you pull that lever, as much as we had fun the other day with our little Twitter poll, it's not going to be Joe Girardi.
No.
It's not going to be Buck Showalter. It's not going to be Don Mattingly from Toronto. And it's not going to be Carlos Beltran. Those are fun and games, and we could all have a great time on Sports Talk Radio. But if you pull the lever of desperation, understand who it is. Luis Rojas and Brad Ausmus.
How you left off Wally Backman in that poll, I'll never know. I mean, how did you leave off Wally Backman? I mean, that's the go-to guy when you need a spark. But I agree with you. And listen, I'm not opposed to it. I know I'm the Boone guy. I am a Boone defender in many ways. But even I can't turn a blind eye to the way they've played here. I don't care about his post-game press conferences. I don't care about certain things. What I care about is the way they're playing the game. And for a stretch there, it was ugly. And it wasn't just Glaber. It was guys who you wouldn't, I mean, you know, Volpe is a hustling young player. For him to have that kind of moment, for a cagey veteran like DJ LeMay, who's won batting titles in both leagues, to not know not to run into a double play. Like, for those things, there is a level of frustration I even have with Aaron Boone. And you're right. There will come a point where even I, a Boone defender, would pull the lever knowing he's not going to get another contract anyway if they don't pull it out.
Right.
So I think there is a line. For me, the line isn't even discussed until they are no longer in a playoff position. That's the bare minimum. I'm not even saying the day they fall out, I do it. What I'm saying is until they are out of a playoff spot, until they are looking up at other teams, and it continues this nonsense, until that moment, I'm not even considering it.
Yeah.
After that, I'm open to it.
Yeah, so the last time the lever was pulled in New York baseball, the last time this happened was Willie Randolph, if memory serves correct. I'm trying to go through. Now, obviously, the Yankees haven't pulled.
No.
Well, say it one more time. You don't think so? What?
No, you were saying, Eva, obviously the Yankees have, and I said no.
Oh, okay. You're confirming. Yeah, the Yankees haven't pulled the lever of desperation in many years, since prior to Buck Showalter. So it's not a Yankee thing. The last time the lever was pulled was for Willie Randolph and Jerry Manuel. And I go back to that because I was here, I was doing the shows with Joe, and I wanted to pull the lever. I was, and I like Willie Randolph. I believe he deserves another job. I don't think he was ever even bad as the Met manager. And obviously doing it at 3 a.m., not ideal. But I'll tell you why, where I was, mental headspace, and see if Yankee fans are in the same place, on why I said you have to fire him. Not because I love Jerry Manuel, but because you have to try something. I saw a team in 2006 lose before they should have. Didn't blame that on Willie Randolph, even though he should have bunted with Tommy Glavine instead of using Cliff Floyd as a pinch hitter.
Right.
Didn't blame that on him. But in 2007, they collapsed. They should not have collapsed. There was no good reason to collapse, and they collapsed. They then began the following year underachieving. They were a 500 team, right around that number, a little bit under, and I looked at them and said, wait a second. I just saw a team collapse, inexcusable, and now I'm watching a team that is so clearly underachieving, to where I said, I have to pull the lever because I can't answer why this has happened. So Yankee fans, when you look at this team, still well above 500, still in a pennant race, still in a playoff spot, do you have those same feelings I had? At 56-39, do you say we've grossly underachieved? Do you have that emotion? I can't imagine any Yankee fan has that emotion. Do you think you're underachieving at 56-39? Because you do have to look at the whole thing, right?
I mean, do you guys take Yankee fan calls?
No, I'm giving you my opinion.
Oh, no.
Do you think they're underachieving at 56-39?
No, I don't. If I would have went into the year, I mean, listen, Have they underachieved over the last month? Absolutely. But I didn't expect to be the first team to 50 wins. I didn't. They didn't have Gerrit Cole.
You do have to look at the whole sample, though. That's why I say 56 right. and 39.
No, I understand that. For me, no. If you would have told me, to play the game, if you would have told me, which is usually flawed, but in this case, I'll try it. If you would have told me at the start of the year, starting the year the way they did with that lineup without Cole going into the year, if they would have been two games back of Baltimore, and 3.5 games up of the wild card, I absolutely would have been pleased with it. I would have been pleased with it.
Right.
Now, it's a roller coaster of a season, and they were so much better that absolutely it's a disappointing where they are. But overall, no, I don't think they've underachieved dramatically on the scale of it all. Now, the last month, they've been putrid, the worst team in baseball, and I never expected them to have a stretch this long where they're the worst team in baseball.
Would you like to hear from the guy that showed up at the book signing
yes.
and said, acknowledge him?
Yes, sure, of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jose on Long Island. Jose, how are you, sir?
Hey, Evan, Big Mac, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Jose, you are a gentleman and a scholar, my friend. And the idea that you recognized what everyone should have recognized, I really appreciate it.
Yes, I recognize that Evan is a little awkward, just like me. And that there are those of us who need the help.
Yeah.
And I mentioned not just you, Big Mac, but also... Pete Hoffman, because,
no doubt.
Fellow, the Rico Bronya needed the acknowledgement.
Yep.
And even Dove Kramer, he also got...
Wow, hear the silence from Big Mac about Dove. Like, you don't agree with that?
No.
He was only our board operator for 13 years.
When did I say I didn't agree with it?
No, your silence was deafening.
I didn't say anything about Pete Hoffman either. I can only pick my own battles. I appreciate both of those gentlemen should have been added to the...
Jose nailed it. Jose is so spot on. It's my awkwardness.
And Evan, to be fellow awkward,
yes.
I... kind of joke to you, they should also thank your dog Dudley, but I said, no, that would have been too far.
How much would that have pissed off Big Mac?
Yeah. Right. My God. Dudley and Freedom made the book. I would have been beside myself.
I scored a lot of these games with Freedom, who's not with us anymore, sitting on my lap with Dudley barking. Yeah.
Yeah. Not sure. Why not? And you are awkward. We all get it.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
And that awkwardness, and this will fit for something we will talk about a little bit later on, that awkwardness is why I think I defend the awkwardness of one Pete Alonso.
Mm.
Pete Alonso is a very awkward guy. And for many years, it's bothered Big Mac.
Yes.
In fact, I give Big Mac a little bit of credit. He actually told Pete Alonso to his face.
I did. And I get no credit for it. I get this thing that I ran from the moment.
I just gave you credit.
No, I know. I'm saying now you are finally. In when it happened, I kind of got you ran from it, because I made a slightly, joke at the beginning about trying to be friendly with him. But then I told him to his face, he's an awkward dude.
Yes. And by the way, he is an awkward dude.
No doubt.
And so am I. So when we talk about his home run derby love affair... I will probably understand it a lot more than Big Mac. Because one thing about Chris Big Mac McGonigal, not awkward at all. He's very, very, very... what do you call someone who's not awkward? Normal?
No, that's such a... Yeah,
I can't use the word normal.
Yeah.
Confident?
No. Confident? That's a way.
Cocksure or something?
Cocksure?
Yeah.
So I've been called cocksure before.
Yeah.
I don't know... socially inclined? I have no idea.
Socially inclined?
Yeah, I don't know.
I've improved in a lot of areas, but there's still that level of awkwardness.
Oh, no doubt. And I got to tell you, I didn't want to bring this up, but it went to a bunch of different lengths, because I got to tell you, we haven't seen each other as much anymore. And to my point about not being recognized in the book is that I felt like we were an everyday team, and I, for many years. What felt like, not enough, 2.5, but it felt like that for a while.
It was more than enough.
It was more than enough.
Whose fault is that? Someone needed to go to TV.
Someone had to leave. So I just felt like we had this friendship and this kinship about the book, but also just overall friendship. So when we had the opportunity to see each other in December at a wrestling event, I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to seeing my buddy Evan. And then I remember I went there, and yes, we had our families with us and we're taking care of our children and stuff, but I just felt like, The idea of reciprocation of, wow, so good to see you, just wasn't there. In fact, I went...
What?
In fact,
come on.
In fact, I went for a hug, and you said, oh, you want to hug it out? I said, I guess maybe that's weird. I thought a hug for not seeing each other in 6 months was warranted, but apparently it wasn't. So I this is to defend you.
Oh, thanks.
Because it's so awkward that you can't help yourself. the idea that, like, because I saw Loogie at the hockey game. We went to the Islander game. I'm the Ranger shill who put on a Yankee, Ranger jersey, Islander jersey, excuse me, and all that. And I saw him, and it was like, oh, good to see you. We got the bro hug going. I haven't seen you in forever. And for you, it's just like, hey, you know, we're going to get some popcorn. You want any? I'm like, thanks, Ed. I'm good.
I am a clown.
I think a part of it is, I miss you so much.
I know.
You know, letting out that emotion very difficult sometimes. And so I try to hold it back.
Yeah, I understand.
I try to hold it back.
I understand. I miss you too.
Plus, what'd you think?
It's good to see you.
What'd you think that night when Randy Orton selected SmackDown over Raw? That was crazy, wasn't it? We'll get back to your calls coming up. We'll mix in the Mets, including Brandon Nimmo really doing something that you very, very rarely see an athlete do, making demands from his ownership.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.